Rabbis call him pastor. Pastors call him rabbi. His patients call him doc. And his New York family calls him Meshuga, crazy, because he believes in Messiah. Welcome to this episode of To Life, where Miles Weiss highlights the hope behind the headlines.
Hello and welcome to this episode of To Life with Miles Weiss. That's me, and I am thrilled today to have again with me, by popular demand, our good friend Eugene Bach from the Back to Jerusalem movement. Eugene has served in China for over 20 years, helping the house church movement to preach the gospel throughout the 1040 window, the missions window of that part of the world, and also to bring awareness of the persecution of Christians around the world and to support those that are standing for the faith in the closed countries of the world. I'm coming to you today live on delay, and it's interesting that since my talk with Eugene, all hell has broken loose in America, and we are watching a really strong confrontation between the forces of good and evil, darkness and light, and chaos is right at the door. This very day, we're watching the Capitol grounds be breached, the Capitol building be breached, and we are looking towards a solution. So we as believers need to pray for peace in this country. I'm hearing in the spirit the celebration of tyrants around the world over the chaos that we're currently suffering with in America, but I believe we will come through it. I believe that there's a mobilization of a remnant of believers who will stand for what God is standing for and will see this country come through and therefore be a blessing to the world as we always have been. So without further ado, here's my interview with Eugene Bach. Hey, Eugene, it's good to speak with you again.
Hey, good to be with you as well, brother, as always.
Yeah, I know. I think you're somewhere in America right now, correct?
Yes, I am. I am in my home state of Indiana. I just flew in yesterday.
Well, you've been in the States for a while. We're in the time of Hanukkah. It's coming to a close this week. I think Thursday night will be the last night. And I'm just thinking about the parallels between standing up to an oppressive, militaristic, one world government oriented work, which is what happened in the time of the Maccabees, and what's happening now in China and for Christians around the world, for believers around the world. I feel like Christians are the 21st century Jews. You know, we had our oppression in the 20th century. And of course, it's always a good time to persecute Jews for the world. But Christians are really under the gun right now. Can you give us an update about what's happening in China before we get into Hanukkah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now inside of China, things have, I want to be very careful here because I can give a very dark message of gloom and doom. That's not what I want to do, but I do want to be very honest about what's taking place inside of China. As the last time that we talked, I had said that things continue to get worse. It's been the worst in the last 2 years inside of China than it has been in the last two decades. What has been particularly concerning for me is that it's not just the government's tightening noose around the necks of Christians inside of China that I'm seeing increasing. This year, 2020 has been the worst year by far that I've ever experienced inside of China. And I'm talking in reference to persecution against Christians. The persecution against Christians in China continues to increase. But what is even more challenging for me is to see that most of the world, the voices of those that used to stand out, those that used to stand against the persecution of Christians inside of China, those voices are slowly fading. There are countries around the world where China has been able to gain tremendous influence. And with that influence has been able to silence many critics. I said that a little bit last time we were together, and I was talking about the influence that China has had over the WHO, the World Health Organization. It came to light later on that it wasn't just the World Health Organization, but it's been the CDC as well, the Center for Disease Control in the United States. The amount of impact that China has had on that group, the amount of impact that China is having on politicians and businesses and lawmakers around the world has been concerning. I don't know if you've seen anything on the Great Reset, but the Great Reset that has basically become a number one topic at the meetings in Davos. For those that are not familiar with the meetings in Davos, Switzerland, every year There is a guy by the name of Schwab. His first name escapes me at the moment, but he hosts this meeting in Switzerland every year with roughly around 6,000 industry leaders, entrepreneurs, business leaders, educators, the real movers and shakers of the world from every nation in the world. And he brings them to this retreat up in the Swiss mountains in Davos. And they basically set the policy for the entire world. And I know that this might sound a little bit like tin foil hat stuff, but I mean, nothing that I'm saying is anything that, you know, you would have to find on some remote website on the dark web. Everything that I'm saying, you know, you can Wikipedia, you can find on CNN, BBC. It's on the mainstream media being talked about very, very openly. And a lot of the stuff that's coming out of Davos is a repeat of what China sees for the entire world. Now, the guy that's running Davos, without taking too much of your time, I just want to share this really quick, because when you're asking how are things inside of China, I have to say it seems like China's influence is growing around the world. So the persecution against Christians inside of China is having an impact around the rest of the world. Schwab, the guy that runs Davos, he's the only guy that I know of. I've never heard of this before, but he's the only guy that I know of that has a standing invitation to go and speak at universities in Beijing anytime he wants on any subject that he wants. That is how much the Chinese government trusts him. I've never heard of a foreigner having that level of honor before. Also, he's been one of the handful of people that I've ever seen to receive the Friendship Award, which is kind of like, if you're from America, we have this Freedom Medal that we give to people, you know, of high standing, and it's given by the president. It's kind of the highest civilian recognition that the United States can bestow on somebody. Knighthood is a little bit like this in the UK. Well, in China, they have what's called a Friendship Award, which sounds cheesy, right? It sounds like a participation trophy of some sort, but it's only been given out to a handful of people. Schwab has been one of the few people been given this Friendship Award directly from President Xi within the first year of President Xi taking power. So there is a very close connection relationship with Schwab and President Xi that I think looks quite daunting for the future, not just for Christians inside of China, but for around the world.
Yeah.
This is something that people need to be aware of. Christians need to be aware of, praying about and preparing for.
I think that's really, really helpful. I think that we can get caught up in looking for, or for conservatives, say in America, looking for some kind of old school new left from the 60s or some kind of Soviet related Bernie Sanders thing. But what we have not noticed in this 30 years of welcoming China into the capitalist world is that they're using capitalism to present something that is a global initiative to financially get this technocratic oppression, or I don't know exactly how to put it, but it's not a conspiracy of old school lefties. It's a really daunting, sophisticated use of capitalism, because when the WTO happened and Clinton and Nixon opened the door to China, and Clinton did what he did to welcome China into the world economy, we all thought, and I've heard Christian leaders say, oh, this is great. This means that they're going to become more and more Christian, and this opens it up as the economy rises and people have more things and they'll be open to more Western ideas. They'll be open to this, that, and the other. And what we didn't see coming, I think you're referring to this, is that there's this unholy alliance between a totalitarian view of the world, including, as I've learned recently, that China has a mandate from heaven to be world dominant. And now you see them in every country combining with the capitalism of that country to create this technocratic one world thing. We don't know what it's going to look like yet, but I think that's what you're talking about, is that there's a genuine connection between a new kind of communism. Is that true?
That's the way. So Klaus is his name. Klaus Schwab Dude, if you have ever seen a villain from the 007 movies, this guy fits all of those profiles. Like, all he needs is a cat in his arms to be petting as he talks about, you know, the World Economic Plan. So Davos is this group of people that are meeting from around the world, including China. And so China is very supportive of these meetings. Now, keep in mind that this group of people, what they call it, the World Economic Forum, and they meet together in Davos once a year. Nobody elects these officials. I mean, nobody elects them to be the world governors, okay? We're not talking about the United Nations. We're not talking about a world body that people financially contribute to and know what's going on. There's no audit. There's no election. There's no selection process. There's people that attend the meetings that are incognito or not known. And so if you watch, you can go on YouTube. This is presented by TED Talks as well as the World Economic Forum. They have individuals, groups, engineers, economists that have basically said, along with Klaus Schwab, that capitalism has failed us. That the coronavirus has highlighted a chink in the armor, and there needs to be, and this is very important, there needs to be equality of outcome.
Right.
There are too many nations being left behind, too many nations that are getting rich, and there needs to be a distribution of wealth around the world. And there is a responsibility that every nation has. Now, already I start to get worried. I know what's happened in China. I know what's happening in China. For those that have been looking at the spiritual side of China with the clamp down of Christians, I have been sharing very openly about that. But let me just take a quick second to share that it's not just been the Christian community that's suffering inside of China. It is at the same time the market economy that has suffered inside of China. Without going into too much detail and boring everybody to sleep that is listening to this podcast, in 1981, we saw a new group of leaders that took power along with Deng Xiaoping. Deng Xiaoping took power after Mao Zedong. Mm-hmm. After Mao Zedong, it was a complete wreck inside of China. China did not have enough money to feed their own people. They didn't have any way of treating in any form, shape, or fashion people that were sick because, I mean, they guaranteed so many things, right? Free education. They didn't have universities. Free food. They didn't have food. Free medical care. They didn't. All of those things were destroyed from 1949 to 1979. So that 30 years is what it took for communism to bring atheism, to bring China to a screeching halt where everybody is dying of starvation. Deng Xiaoping took over, and Deng Xiaoping basically said this, guys, we don't have enough food to feed you. So farmers, start to grow your own crops. And they did. Farmers were so excited. The farmers that did the best were those that were on the lowest levels, those that were about to starve. They couldn't give jobs in the cities. So what happened was uneducated peasants, beggars, moved into the cities and just started their own little operations. And all of a sudden, you started to see this economic engine come alive in China in 1981. And from there, China then started to say, okay, well, these guys are doing pretty good. What we need to do is control that. So they set up what was called special economic zones. And the special economic zones first became Shenzhen, southern China, and Guangdong province. From there, we started seeing it grow in every place. So Guangzhou, we started seeing it in Hangzhou, Zhengzhou, Shenzhen, Shanghai, and then it spread all over China like a virus. In the beginning, China tried to check your ID so you couldn't go into those areas unless you could show an ID, but they couldn't keep starving people from fighting for their life and going into these cities and starting their own businesses. So what I see when I hear about this World Economic Forum talking about equal distribution, it sounds like Mao Zedong in the early 1960s, which destroyed everything economically. But, and here's the thing, what we have seen in China in the last 4 years is that China has been bringing everybody together on one electronic system or a kind of a single app. I've always talked about WeChat, which is an app that every Chinese person has on their phone. It's the world's first super app. And I talked about the social credit score, those kind of things that we've seen implemented inside of China. But what I've heard from the World Economic Forum in Davos has been along the same lines of what China has been doing. So what they're talking about is one bank. So one bank where everything is together. They're talking about even the Federal Reserve right now is looking to put everything into an electronic wallet. And what they were saying, and I listened to some of the speeches, dude, I have to tell you, I was shaking, believing that this sounds like China all over again from the 1960s. Mm-hmm. What they were talking about was putting everybody in one banking system. That means that the banks would no longer need to have the ability to make money. Because when everybody's using one bank and when there's one world bank, you no longer have to worry about profitability for that bank. It's the main thing in control of your money, which means that they can shut you down at any time. And if it's digital, they can keep you from accessing it at any time. So for instance, let's say that, you know, have you been to the right education program yet? Have you got certification from being educated in a certain way yet? Have you had your shots, your immunity shots, your immunizations? If you haven't had these certain things, then, you know, all of a sudden you can't access your account. When I was listening to the World Economic Forum, they were also talking about instead of encouraging investment to build up the economy and trying to get people certain loans and invest in certain businesses, what they would do was that they would just make everybody rent everything. So you would have to rent everything and no money would be stable. Like you couldn't save money. You couldn't hoard money. It would be kind of like, it would be like your airline miles where your cash would become a type of commodity that would expire. So if you don't use it, you lose it kind of program, where that means there's no savings. There wouldn't be any inheritance to pass on to your family. There wouldn't be any way to stock up for a disaster. You would always have to be relying on a government or a bank. This is what I heard coming out of the World Economic Forum. And brother, this sounds like China. This sounds like China from the 1960s. And this sounds like the direction that China is moving today in the year 2020. And without being too conspiracy theorist kind of whatever, I believe that China is behind this focus that we're seeing in the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're verifying for me these intuitive and anecdotal experiences I've had lately of seeing things like local banks closing and you need to come and get your safe deposit box out of here because we're not being here as a branch anymore. And we see this centralization of things. And I mean, this crazy stuff that's going on in California to wipe out the middle class and all the small businesses. It seems to be moving in that direction. And, you know, I'm about a remnant that can stand up. I'm about David and Goliath. I'm about the Maccabees and Hanukkah. I'm about Yeshua standing up to the religious forces of the day and bringing something fresh and new to the world. But I've had the same sense of this connection between the Davos-related economic one-worldness and China's technocratic ability to oppress and to something is, it's like a marriage made in hell, it seems. And that's really helpful to understand that that's what you're seeing, because that's kind of what we are wondering about, especially right now in America, watching the battle between centralization and individualism. I think about the United Nations and in their charter, it says that in order to bring world peace, and I have my finger quotes up, world peace will come when we do away with individualism, we do away with nationalism, we do away with traditional family and traditional religion, that will lead us to world peace. Well, hello, that's what this movement is about. It's a way of making everybody dependent on a central source.
So I'm kind of on a college tour right now, right? My youngest is he's starting college in the fall of 2021. And so we have been traveling around going to different areas. I've been speaking on the weekends and we've been seeing the universities as best we can during the lockdown. There was a place that we went to in Bozeman, Montana. And the pastor there, we felt that the message was one of the most powerful messages that we have heard in a Sunday morning church service in years. Wow. And this pastor was talking about the coronavirus, and he was talking about something, and it influenced me to kind of include it here. One of the things about, and I did not know this before, because everybody's heard about the coronavirus. We're kind of sick of it, right? We've heard everything there is to hear about it, and we're kind of done with it. Most believers are kind of done with it. But as much as I knew about the coronavirus, as much as I've heard about the coronavirus, I did not know that the coronavirus is based on the Latin word corona, which means crown. Mm-hmm. And so this has been a disease that has been based on the idea, because the disease itself looks like these little crowns on a ball. And we've seen all, you know, these recreations or photos of them all over, especially on the internet and news. But I believe that it really has shown a disease for us around the world, believers, where we have given ourselves a crown. And this crown that we have put upon our heads makes us fearful. Mm. And that's why we are wanting all of these control mechanisms to be put in place, because we're scared. Mm. And fear makes us do things that we would not normally do if we were rational individuals thinking about things before we actually make decisions. Fear makes us come together and huddle and agree to things in haste that we would never agree to otherwise. Just throwing out freedoms out the door, giving up our ideas, even, and when I talk about freedoms, I'm not necessarily talking about the freedom to of press or the freedom to carry a gun or the freedom to bear arms. I'm talking about basic freedoms that we enjoy in Christ, giving up the commission of going and sharing the gospel with the rest of the world, giving up the assembly of the body, giving up the discipleship. I believe that this year we're going to find that discipleship has taken a huge hit, where people are just not wanting to connect with one another. And this is something that I've really respected China about, because even during the coronavirus lockdowns, the church has already been playing this game for a long time. They're still meeting. They're still congregating. They are still discipling. And because they've been doing this for a while, but I think that there's a lot of Christians around the world today that are adjusting. They will get there. They're getting on the track. They're realizing that the governments that put in certain measures for their protection weren't actually looking for their protection.
Well, folks, stop on a dime, 9 cents change. As you know, Eugene is standing for what is good and right in this world. We love him and we're grateful for his work in this time in our lives. And we believe that you also can hear in what we've just talked about that there are some grim headlines, but there is always the hope behind the headlines.